You are listening to the Plastic Surgery Revolution with Dr. Stephen Davis, the one and only podcast that discusses modern plastic surgery and leaves you looking great and feeling better.
Welcome, everyone, to the Plastic Surgery Revolution. I'm your host, Dr. Stephen Davis, board-certified plastic surgeon. We have to talk about breast implants because that's the number one procedure that I've been doing over the past 2 months. And the reason why I think it's so important for me to talk about it with all of you is because there has been so much information out there for so long. A lot of it is very new. A lot of it is just old perpetuated thoughts that people have had about what implants can do, what they can't do, are they safe, all of those things. And believe it or not, every single consultation that I have with all of you, we go through all of this. So I just figured I might as well do this as a podcast so that all of you that are listening would really have as much information about this as possible. So here it goes. The first thing to know is this. Breast implants are probably the number one medical device that's been studied longer and more intensely than almost anything else on the market. There's been so much batted around about if they caused any problems for so many years that, and it's still an ongoing research thing. It's not like we've determined exactly, you know, how certain implants may affect certain people. There's so many things that are out there right now in research and development about really continuing to understand the safety and everything else about it. But here are the things that we currently know for sure. Here it is. The first is, since the early 1960s, saline implants, the ones that you know about that actually are literally empty bags that we fill intraoperatively with IV saline that's coming out of an IV saline bag. That implant is really the same kind of an idea that's been around since the early 1960s. So from a safety perspective and everything else, what we know is that the actual shell of that bag is the same kind of a shell that we also use in the new silicone gel implants. Basically, the shell is made of an inert material. What inert means is that it's not going to react in your body. It's the same material, believe it or not, that we use to start an IV, because we know that if we had to basically test if the IV tubing or that IV cannula that we would be using to actually start an IV, can you imagine having to kind of test if you would be allergic to that kind of an IV when you're going, let's say, emergently to the operating room, or you're going emergently into an ER and they want to start IV fluids? They would have to like somehow test dose the IV tubing to make sure you wouldn't. So again, obviously that's ridiculous. So the tubing is something that we call an inert material, and the shell or the bag that's housing either the saline or the silicone gel is also made of an inert material. So that's nothing that you're going to be allergic to. Now, for a long time, and we could go back into a historical type thing, people have tried to do different types of materials to make a woman's breast larger. Again, in the 60s, we started in with these saline implants, and then eventually it came to become what we would call a silicone liquid that was used to fill that same type of a bag. But that silicone liquid implant was taken off the market for about 14 to 15 years. Once the word silicone came back onto the market, it was now in a gel form. No longer was it considered a silicone liquid. It was now a silicone gel. And since that time, moving all the way now to 2021, the generations of these silicone gel implants have gotten better and better. Just like an iPhone, you have different generations of the iPhone. Well, now this fifth generation of the silicone gel implant has become an amazing piece of a medical device, because the implant itself is made up of this silicone gel that has the consistency much like a regular breast, but it also has this overwhelming ability to maintain its form. So it's something that we've been calling a form stable type of an implant. So in other words, if you're standing, if you're lying down, if you're moving around, it's going to continue to maintain its shape, which for a lot of you is something that you come in and ask for. Because if you wanted, you know, a very flat type of an appearance to the breast, we've had that for a long time. It's just that the newer breast implants, the new generation of breast implants, are really geared for patients that don't want to have a very matronly look. They're looking for a more perky, youthful, tight, lifted breast. And these new breast implants, these latest generation, are exactly what that is, because it's allowing that superior pole of your breast, the upper part of the breast that starts to go away as we get older. That's what we're really trying to reestablish a lot of times for you when you're coming in to talk about breast augmentation, because a lot of you have a lot of your own breast tissue in a very low or dependent area of your breast, but where you're lacking that fullness is at the top of your breast, or what we're calling the superior pole of the breast. Now, you can achieve that by using a push-up bra. But if you wanted to do it without using a push-up bra, that's where these new silicone gel implants, a lot of you have heard the name gummy bear implant, because again, it has that same concept of a consistency of that type of material where it's actually causing the bag itself to not get deformed. So if you're pushing on it, if you're squeezing it, just like you would with a gummy bear candy, you're not really going to be able to distort it. And a lot of you that are coming in for your breast augmentations, that's the implant that you're really asking for, because the superior pole of your breast is what you're really trying to reestablish. Now, one of the other things that are so interesting to talk about when it comes to these new aged, or the new age of breast augmentation, is that the dimensions of your chest wall need to match the dimensions that we're thinking about choosing for the breast implant. I'm going to say that again. When you come in to see me for a consultation, one of the things that we go through is a very didactic way of measuring your chest so that we'll know the measurements that will fit the implant that you may want to restore the volume that's missing. And that's, in a nutshell, the way we know that we're going to give you a very natural look and something that you'll be very, very pleased with, because it's going to be something that matches what's already part of what your measurements are. And the beauty of understanding this is that many, many, many years ago, when I first started doing plastic surgery, there really weren't that many different types of breast implants to choose from. If you wanted to be a D cup, let's say, and we were going to use a 500cc implant, we didn't really have that many different 500cc implants. So if you were, let's say, 5'11 and a half, and your girlfriend also wanted a D cup, and she was 5'1, could you imagine that we were going to have to use the same implant for both of you, even though, you know, your measurements may be totally different, we only had that 500cc implant to kind of give you that cup size that you wanted. Nowadays, it's totally different. Nowadays, even though that 500cc implant may be the one that we choose for you that's 5'11 and a half, or your girlfriend that's 5'1", we have a 500cc implant that will be the measurements that go with your chest wall. So envision what I'm trying to say to you. Imagine a 500cc implant that would look like a pancake, or a 500cc implant that literally looks like a mountain. Both are considered 500cc's, but they're in a bag or a shape that's totally different. And it's everything in between those two kind of images, the pancake or the mountain. And we have everything in between those two shapes. So when you're going in for your breast augmentation, those are the measurements and those are the things that we're really choosing from now. It's not just about CCs. It's more about what's the shape of the implant that's going to fit in your dimensions to give you the most natural look that you're going for. Now, the last thing that I wanted to make sure that you understand is there's been a lot of discussion about the surface texture of the implant itself. Now, again, it could be a saline implant or a silicone gel implant. Either one could have a smooth texture to the implant or a textured surface, which means that it's a rough outside shell. Years ago, it was thought, and I still think to some degree there are some people that still understand it this way and kind of like this description, but the textured surface implants, the ones that are rough on the outside, the thinking was that that texturing would basically make it so that when your body formed a capsule of scar tissue around the implant, it would lock onto the implant better. And it would be kind of fitting into your tissues better, and it wouldn't move around a lot, and it would kind of be like it was part of you. And the thinking was that the capsule that would be made by your collagen would be smoother. The capsule that you would be forming would integrate well with that textured surface implant. We now understand that there could be a lot of issues associated with that textured surfacing, one of which would be something like a lymphoma. And we'll have an entire discussion about this on another podcast. But suffice to say that those textured implants are no longer really being used anywhere, because there have been some reports where people that have those textured type of an implant have developed some problems associated with it. I personally never really thought that the textured surfacing was a great idea, mainly because if you ever did want to get those removed, whenever I went in to remove those implants in some patients that had that type of an implant, and it was, let's say, performed by somebody else, and they moved from wherever they used to live, and now they wanted to change the implant, it wasn't the easiest operation, and you could tell that the tissues really did ingrow or kind of get very, very embedded in that texturing. And I never thought it was a great idea, and I also thought a lot of times that it did give a harder feel to the breast. So personally, that isn't one of those types of implants that I've ever really chosen to use. Now, in reconstruction, and for reasons that you may feel that it's necessary, there's a whole litany of reasons why a textured surface implant would still be the implant of choice for certain people. A lot of it has to do with reconstruction or for other indications for problems that are not just a straightforward cosmetic breast augmentation. So they're available if you really had a mastectomy or you needed to have some sort of a reason for that type of a textured surfacing. But suffice to say, at this point, if you're going for a breast augmentation, I would pretty much guarantee that most of the plastic surgeons that you would be seeing would be using a smooth round or a smooth surface, if you will, to the implant, be it either saline or a silicone gel. I think I've given you a lot of information. I just wanted to make sure that you know it's one of the hottest topics around, and breast augmentation, especially now, has almost doubled or resurfaced, believe it or not, from many years ago. It's become more and more of a popular operation, and I think it's because the implants have gotten to this new generation where you can really create beautiful shapes and a very natural look. You've been listening to the Plastic Surgery Revolution. I'm your host, Dr. Stephen Davis, and I'll be speaking with you again next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Plastic Surgery Revolution with Dr. Stephen Davis. Please subscribe to our show in iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or whatever app you use to listen to podcasts. Keep listening, looking great, and feeling better.